This is Choni's Circle.
I'm Tamar Levicki.
I'm Rabbi Paula Rose.
And on Choni's Circle,
we are going to explore Jewish texts from the Torah through the Talmud and lots of traditional commentaries to grapple with climate change, to help us process our emotions about climate change and about this particular moment, and to help us try to make sense of the world that we find ourselves in. Today we're going to study a text from Tractate Ta'anit, from the Talmud, that deals with rain and actually offers some very great praise of rain by comparing it to a few other things that are really important to the rabbis. So Rabbi Abahu says, the day of rain, a rainy day, is greater than the resurrection of the dead, which the rabbis imagine is going to happen sometime in a distant future. Whereas the resurrection of the dead is only for the righteous, rain is for everybody, righteous and wicked alike. Rav Yosef then chimes in and is going to say, actually, that they're really equal to each other, right? It's not that rain is greater than resurrection. It's only equal to resurrection. And says that because it is equivalent to resurrection, the praise of rain, right, Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGashem, where we praise God as causing the wind to blow and the rain to fall, goes in the blessing of the Amidah that's about the resurrection of the dead, right? It goes in the blessing of Mechaye HaMeitim. And so Rav Yosef is saying, that's why it goes there, right? Because rain and resurrection are equivalent to each other. That's why that's the place that it goes in the Amidah. But he says that comes to show that it's not greater, it's just equivalent to, right? But that's already quite a statement. And then while we're talking about how great and wonderful rain is, Rav Yehuda chimes in and says, Gadol yom hagshamim ki yom shenitna bo Torah, that a rainy day is as great as the day that the Torah was given, right? Which for the rabbis, right, like there's no better day than the day that the Torah was given. And they use some verses to support that. In the Torah, it says, Ya'arof kamatar likhi, let my teaching come down like rain. And there's another verse that uses that word lekach, right, in likhi, my teaching. And it's pretty clear that that's talking about Torah, because it says, Ki lekach tov natati lachem, Torati al ta'azovu. We sing that when we put away the Torah. For I give you good teaching, do not forsake my Torah. So it's pretty clear there that Torah and lekach are equivalent. So all of that, right, through like a little bit of a transitive property, we know that the word teaching, lekach, is like Torah. And if the teaching is also like rain, right, then now we're setting up that rain and Torah are equivalent, and therefore a rainy day is just as great as the day that the Torah was given. But Rava is actually going to take it one step farther and say that it's even greater, rain is even greater than the day that the Torah was given, because the verse, this is a little bit technical, but because the verse is comparing and says, Ya'arof kamatar likhi, let my teaching drop like rain. And when you make a comparison, you're always comparing the smaller thing to the greater thing. And so it's saying because it's comparing teaching to rain, right, that actually that is coming to show us that the teaching is compared to and then therefore sort of dependent on and lesser than rain itself. And I'll just start by saying I found this like really striking, right? There's something like sort of very over the top about this, of the rabbis sort of trying to outdo each other about how great they can say rain is, right? First by saying it's equivalent to resurrection, then it's greater than resurrection, and saying that it's equivalent to the day that the Torah was given, it's even greater than the day that the Torah was given. And for the rabbis, the giving of the Torah and the anticipated future messianic age and resurrection of the dead, like those are two really important things for the rabbis. Like, I can't even really imagine a greater hyperbole.
There's a lot to say with that. And I also wonder if you could talk about this Talmudic mode of discussing knowledge that's very heavily based in like semantic interpretations. Because you said it was over the top, but it seems very par for the course.
Yeah. Okay. So the methodology is pretty par for the course in that, like, this is how the rabbis prove their points, right? So they find biblical verses that support the things that they say, and they parse the words, right, to look for things like, oh, is something being compared to something else? And, like, what does that mean about the status of each of them? So that is all par for the course. But it's nonetheless a choice. It's clear that they're looking for ways to describe how great rain is, right? Like, they don't have to write any of this. It's not like you read the Torah and you come upon these verses, right, about Torah coming down like rain. This doesn't have to mean that rain is greater than Torah. The rabbis are making a choice to elevate it in that way. They're using the same tools that they usually do, but I can't even think of anything like in the rabbis' minds that would be greater praise of rain than these two things.
Right. That is definitely interesting that they made that choice, but I kind of want to like continue learning a little more about this framework before we dive into the content of it. One example that popped into my mind is there's this phrase that I think is oft quoted about if you save a life, you save the world. Mm-hmm. So I feel like in a way this is maybe less shocking than this rain stuff, but like in the same category, right? If you save one person's life, like no one really thinks that you save the entire world. But there's some, I don't know. So I'm trying to like figure out what the rabbis are trying to get at when they make statements like this. Are they trying to like get at the emotional equivalency? Like, I don't know. Do you kind of understand where my inquiry is going or where my confusion is?
Yeah. That's a great question. I like that comparison a lot. I think it's about emotional impact. And I think it's also about pushing us to think about things a little bit differently, right? So our instinct in like reading most rabbinic text would be like, Torah is basically more important than anything else. Right. And actually on Choni's Circle, in I don't know what number episode, right, we talked about the text where it says if you're studying Torah and you stop to admire a tree, right, that's the wrong thing to do. So this, I think, is sort of like pushing us into a different frame of thinking about that. Right. It's sort of like pushing us to stretch a little bit. Right. And I don't think the rabbis are saying, like, stop studying Torah and go watch the rainfall. But I think sometimes it takes that sort of push in a different direction to open our minds up a little bit in sort of the same way as the, like, if you save one person, right? I think there's, like, a very utilitarian way of being like, yeah, well, if I save one person, I save one person, and I guess that's a good thing, but, like, how much does that really matter? And the rabbis sort of push us to say, like, no, no, it does really matter, right? It's actually equivalent to saving the entire world. And, like, we can all sort of look at that and be like, okay, well, it's not really equivalent to saving the entire world. But, like, that is coming to teach us something particular about our obligation in that moment, about our impact in that moment, about our impact beyond that moment, right? A lot of what that's about is about future generations. And so I think they're sort of doing the same thing here, of like, challenging us to think a little bit more expansively and not just default into our, like, normal hierarchy categories of just assuming, oh, yes, like, Torah and an imagined perfected future are like the number one things that the rabbis are invested in. And actually, no, they're also really emotionally invested in rain.
Yeah. And I think that's very interesting to me because the rabbis are like, no, we don't want you to only think about religion or only think about this beautiful future that we've told you about and like fantasize about it. Like, it's actually more important to concern yourself with the present and with the weather and agriculture. And for us, we can read climate change into this. Maybe it wasn't as obvious to them.
No, I think that's right. Right. I think this is really pulling us out of that intellectual abstract space and into, no, like, actually what is happening around you in the world really matters and has religious weight to it. And I think it's also worth noting, right, I think there's like a really concrete parallel that they don't make super explicit, but I think has to be going on here with the connection between rain and resurrection. Of like, I think we experience that in a really concrete way, right? Like when, you know, we transition from like the dry, brown, like shriveled plant life of the end of summer and the rainy season begins and it really feels like things are coming back to life, right? I think that that's actually like a powerful like metaphor of like what we're experiencing when rain falls. And it sort of, I think, is like mutually reinforcing, right? Like the experience of watching what rain does to our world gives us a framework for imagining and fantasizing about some kind of future resurrection. And also talking about resurrection as this piece of Jewish tradition then also gives us a different framework for appreciating what's happening when we watch seemingly like the world come back to life when it's renewed by rain.
Yeah, completely. And I was having the same thought. And then my next thought was, but there's no actual mention of that in the text, right?
Yeah, right. It's really interesting that they don't make that explicit, but I think that has to be happening. I think that that has to be part of what's happening behind the scenes.
And the other comparison between rain and Torah, it's referencing like Moshe, his like speech in Devarim, right? The dew on the leaf and like the rain. And so, I don't know, that's like another interesting way to frame it. So you were saying that we can actually use our experience of the natural world and our appreciation of like a barren landscape becoming suddenly green and suddenly flowered to really inspire our religious imagination. And I think to me, like the quote that they pull from Dvarim, that has always spoken to me in that way. I'm not sure I agree with the logic that, like, if you're comparing something to something else, the second one has to be greater. But, yeah, the use of metaphor in that section has always been so beautiful to me and has inspired a deeper spiritual feeling when I can actually, like, imagine the picture of the soft rain or the dew falling. And, like, what does that mean on a deeper level?
Yeah. And I'll add to that too, right? I think, you know, as we talk about sort of the comparisons that aren't made explicit here, right? Both rain and Torah, especially if we think about, you know, the revelation at Sinai, are things that kind of drop out of the sky, as it were, as divine gifts that we benefit from. The rabbis are playing not just, I think, with like these particular verses and texts, but also with the parallels in those experiences. And like, what does the experience of seeing a really welcome rainfall, like, what does that teach us about what our relationship to Torah could be like? And what is the experience of, like, learning Torah? And by the time this is released, we'll already be past it, but we're recording on Erev Shabbat of Parshat Yitro, where tomorrow we're going to read about the revelation of Sinai, and, like, we're going to reenact it, we're going to stand up while those verses are chanted. What could the experience of sort of reenacting that then also tell us about how we might greet rain with that same kind of openness and reverence that we symbolically give to Torah?
And on a possibly less like profound note, I really loved how you talked about the rain kind of like suddenly coming from the sky. And it just felt like magical to me. You're just like, suddenly there's some drops of water coming from the sky. And to me, in the previous or a previous podcast, we talked about the joy of rain and really emphasizing that joy within ourselves. And there's like a joy of Torah. And I feel like when you're deep in study with someone and like this idea occurs to you, the connection of the text, there's a spontaneous joy of like, wow, this idea came up. And I think to me, there's the parallel there also.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the rabbis are making really explicit that there should be, right? They want these things to be similar, right? They're sort of inviting us to bring the joy of Torah and the imagined joy of some kind of future resurrection into our experience of what it is to receive rain, and vice versa, to bring the joy that we feel when we receive rain into how we think about Torah and how we think about resurrection.
Right. And so to bring this to like a larger discussion of climate change and environmental activism, the possibility that we can combine these joys and bring inspiration from our spiritual lives and from Torah study or from like our imagination of messianic times, like we can bring those emotions, those inspirations, those thoughts into our fight to limit climate change. Like that could be very powerful.
For sure. And the inverse too, right? Like what would it mean for us to take seriously, right? Like every small victory in our efforts to combat climate change as religious moments, right? Like what would it mean to actually like claim those within the lens of our tradition?
I'm Rabbi Paula Rose, the Associate Rabbi of Congregation Beth Shalom in Seattle. This podcast is a project of Congregation Beth Shalom and Ahavat Ve'avodat Adama, our community's environmental group.
Choni's Circle was recorded in Seattle, Washington at Full Track Productions. It was produced by Tamara Labicki and Dave Dintenfass.
With original music by Ella Labicki Feldman.
Thanks for listening and learning with us.